Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We are live on the air. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man. And folks, before I get into today's plans and programming, I need to apologize for yesterday.
Wait, I should apologize for yesterday.
Let's have you do it then.
Because the Miracle Man was sitting here eating America's most favorite golden prize and drinking the treasured Dr. Pepper or Coke. And I was home working in the rain and I missed it. So yesterday's fluke was all me. Glad you're here with us today. We're still going to give you three shows this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So make sure you're here and make sure you're listening. And as always, thank you for being them kind of people that just roll with the punch and make it happen. We're going back to the Miracle Man. I'm going up to the counter and get Coke and fries.
Okay, so now that we have, and we are very sorry for what happened. We're still going to give you three shows tonight, tomorrow, Thursday. So, well, before I get into where we're at, I will first give you where are we? We are at McDonald's, 1711 South Saginaw Road. We're directly across the road from a Kmart. We are northwest of a Marathon / Admiral gas station, and we are directly southeast of a Disability Network of Mid Michigan office. So we're inside of McDonald's. We're towards the back of the restaurant, kind of near the bathrooms. So if you want to come in and talk to us, you can. Now, so you're thinking, yeah, how can I call into the show, Preacher and the Miracle Man? What you can do is there's a number you can call us at, and I will tell you what it is. This telephone number is 215-383-3810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. You press 1 when you call in. You press 1. You'll go through the screener, and you can talk to us about whatever you want to talk about. We can talk sports. We can talk about that rain outside. And why does it have to rain so much the last 2 days? Or why do the leaves turn certain colors after they fall? We do have one exception. This is not a political show. There's other great shows you can listen to that discuss that, such as Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity. Great guys, by the way. I love all three of them. Laura Ingram, nice lady. Except for, this is not a political program. We're about faith, miracles, sports, current events, and whatever else you want to talk about. But we don't really do politics here. It is a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. How can I listen to the program on my smartphone? Well, on your web browser, on your phone, or your laptop, or your iPad, or your desktop, whatever you have, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. Okay? That's blogtalkradio.com. What you can do then once you get in there is you can search up for entertainment. What is that Living Large thing again? You say Living Large, that channel or whatever, Living Large. I know about Upfront Entertainment, but what's
Living Large is just the name, just a part of the description.
Okay.
The name of the channel is Upfront Entertainment.
The name of the channel is Upfront Entertainment. Living Large is just part of the description. Okay, listeners, but yeah, so you search up Upfront Entertainment, and then you'll see The Preacher and the Miracle Man. That's our name. The Preacher and the Miracle Man. And this is episode number 32, right? 32?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it 33? Is it 32?
32.
It's 32. Yes, it's 32. And we got some great stuff up there. What you can also do is you can go back and listen to all these shows we've done. We've done 31 of them. This is number 32. We've got some good stuff on there. We got some of my predictions, some of which I've gotten wrong, but quite a few of them I got right. You know, sports predictions I've got on there. We've got a song about biscuits and gravy that we still haven't perfected yet, but maybe we will someday. We'll see where that goes. But in all honesty, we got some great stuff up there. We got some really good truths about faith. And Preacher Man's son put something out on Facebook. Wait a minute. Is Andrew your son or your son-in-law?
Is that the owner?
Either a son or a son-in-law, whichever Andrew is, posted something great on Facebook about faith and an ignore button that I will get to a bit later when I get to exhorting after I do the reading. But yeah, we got about these episodes, we got some great things on there. And when you go to blogtalkradio.com, you can and click on that upfront entertainment and you see the Preacher and the Miracle Man show. What you can do is is it called subscribe that you do that get makes it so that you get notified when we're going to do our next show?
Subscribe or follow.
You can subscribe and follow. And what that'll do is it'll let you know when we're going to do when we are going to do our next show. For example, we're going to do one tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, you'll get a notification that says Preacher and the Miracle Man are going to go live in a couple minutes. So we have an awful lot to get to tonight. We got some faith I'm going to read to you. Hebrews 11, the full chapter again, and then we're going to be on Genesis 29, where Jacob starts having his kids. We're gonna talk about that and what that has to do with faith. And then we got a ton of sports to get to today. We have high school football. Yes, you have the Midland Dow game, and now we're getting into the playoffs now. And playoffs have been picked, and I'll talk about those that involve the Midland and Dow teams. And congratulations to local teams who did not make the playoffs but had at least a productive season. So we got that. We got how did my picks go? You know, my college games and pro games for football. We have Pistons from the last few days. We have Red Wings a little bit. And then we have the World Series that starts tonight. So we have a lot of stuff to get to. But before we get into any of this stuff, I am going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God, that you bless the Preacher Man for all the time he's put into this. I thank you, Lord God, that you just bless me, redeem my time, redeem Preacher Man's time. Just thank you, Lord God, that you'd bless us both. And I thank you, Lord God, that you bless the people who listen to this program, that may they be changed, enlightened. Maybe even laugh a bit, too. you know, but may it just be a great show, and may the listeners be impacted. May those who choose to listen be impacted. And I thank you, Lord God, that the rest of that money for that equipment's just going to keep coming in.
Yes.
We're getting there. We're 50%, but that last bit is going to keep coming in until we have all of it. And then in the name of Jesus, that money comes right into us, or God, this new equipment. And we give you praise and honor and glory for that. Thanks for a great show tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, listeners, before I open the Bible, here's what I will say. I will say this. This is not just two guys sitting at McDonald's doing a radio program. Pastor's been saying that lately about Living Word Church, that this is not just a Mark Barclay show. He says he's basically saying this: if we clap, you clap; if we sing something, you sing something.
Yeah.
On the show, if I say, "Hey preacher, we should sing the song," and we start singing it. If you know it, you should sing it with us.
Yeah.
When I open the Bible, you open the Bible. We pray over something, you agree. That's the way this goes. That particularly when we're dealing with the word and stat and that, you're paying attention to what I have to say. And yeah, so that's a good deal. And everybody listening to the show said, all right, now.
Are we going to sing?
We'll see maybe later. But first off, we are going to the great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Is Andrew your son or your son-in-law?
Son-in-law.
So yeah. So I gave him credit for what he said about how that thing that faith has, the ignore button, and that until you hit it, you know. How did it go? Until you hit it, you can't get what you were believing for or whatever?
There you go.
Is that what it is?
Ignore. Once you get, you got to stop ignoring.
So you can't hit the ignore button anymore.
That's right.
So it'd be like on Facebook, you know, that ignore button when you get that friend request that you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get to that later. I'm just asking him. No. I'm going to start reading. But now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Abel, he offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Hang on, I'm turning the page. Where's that? So, before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who first come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly means all the time. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he did not yet see, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. How many of you sometimes don't know where you're going?
Never been there.
toss up, preacher man. We've all been there.
We've all been there.
Like, it'd be like if I don't know what freeway I'm on
for some reason,
and like I've forgotten and I'm not paying attention, you know.
Yep.
We've all been there. Going by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same purpose. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was of age, and God, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him. So he considered him faithful. He considered God faithful, who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he was as good as dead, he became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Of course, no, I teased about this last week when I was reading this, and I was saying about how if I was talking to that wonderful Hannah, former lifeguard at Plymouth, and me asking her about how many people are there in that, maybe if she would say, I'd be like, how many people are here? And she'd say, as many as the stars in the sky, you know. But no, there could never be that people somewhere once. But they were as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and that they were strangers on earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned with God that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in reward, in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and they gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, and they quenched the fury of the flashes and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might have, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and they were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and in goatskins. And they were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were also commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect.
Hey, you know, I got some French fries here you might want to enjoy.
Yes, please. I do.
And while you're enjoying them, I'll read the next two verses out of Hebrews chapter 12.
Let's do that.
Here's your pop. Here's your fries. Pop's on the... There you go. Now, I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 12, because these are just two more good faith verses. And if you study the Bible, you understand that it wasn't written in chapter and verse. You didn't ever hear Jesus say no in Luke chapter 7, because he was saying it. But Paul in Hebrews 12, or Paul, Luke in Hebrews 12 says, therefore, well, what Brother Hagin teaches, when you see a therefore, you need to find out what it's there for, right?
Yeah.
So since everything that the miracle man just read out of Hebrews 11 is there, do this. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And here's the good verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author He's the one who created the faith and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then when you go to Galatians chapter 2, we'll just add one more verse in here about faith. This one says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so now we take from Hebrews faith into Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. And you and I are living by Jesus' faith every single day. And I tell you what, that's a faith message right out of God's holy word.
Yes, it is.
Now, the Miracle Man is enjoying America's greatest pride. And I have to tell you that before he goes into the book of Genesis, last week I was in the wonderful McDonald's in the beautiful city of Standish. And I came upon a picture and it says, mobile ordering is here. And it has the wonderful quarter pounder with the cheese and a big old crunchy, delicious fry. And a Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper was actually on the ad. And at the counter, you could fill out this little slip that Dr. Pepper might send you to a college football conference championship game of your choice. Dr. Pepper.
Did Coke have that?
No, Coke ain't on there nowhere. Just Dr. Pepper.
But Coke still does enjoy a much bigger following than what Dr. Pepper does.
So, the Miracle Man has had his fry break and his Coke break.
As you can find, two of America's favorite beverages at a McDonald's near you. You can have your choice. You can have either a Coke or a Dr. Pepper. And both of these are available in both regular and diet form. Take your pick. Any size Coke, $1. Only at McDonald's for a limited time. Participation may vary. Tax extra. With that, to Genesis chapter 29, we go to find out. To find out about Jacob's children. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Glory to God. Well, 29. Then Jacob, we're going to start with verse 1.
All right.
Then Jacob continued on his journey, and he came to the land of the eastern people. Wait a minute. I read 29, so I got to go to 30. Didn't I read 29? I thought I did.
Yeah.
Okay, then folks. I repent for that mistake. We are going to Genesis 30. And this is where he continues to have people and children. And then we'll see what happens. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. Jealousy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Green-eyed monster.
True jealousy is not good. I mean, we can always say, I'm jealous that so-and-so got to go somewhere, but that's kind of, just talk. What's bad is the true jealousy.
Yeah.
When you're jealous of somebody for what they have.
Yep.
She gave Jacob 3 children and I didn't.
whatever. This jealousy stuff will hurt you. And if you're jealous of your brother because he got healed and you didn't, or he got that great job and you didn't get it, hey, could it just be that maybe your jealousy is the reason you didn't get your healing or that job? That kind of stuff can make your faith not work. It can literally kill your faith. I mean, what I mean is it can make your cause your faith not to work. I'm gonna keep reading. I just use that as a good line to throw some stuff in. So his pastor does that.
Amen.
Your sister. Jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." My. This is a bit more serious than if I were to sit and say, "Give me a Coke or I'll die."
Yeah.
He said, "Give me a Dr. Pepper or I'll die." This is pretty serious stuff.
Yep.
Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear some children for me. So through her, I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." Kind of like I fought the law, and the law won, but... So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am. The woman will call me happy." Because of this, she named him Asher. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the field and found some mandrake plants. So what she brought to his mother Leah, Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it in that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that night, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you for my son's mandrakes." So she slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant, and she bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and she listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and said, God has taken away my misery. So she named him Joseph. She named him Joseph, and she said, may the Lord add to me another son. We're going to read a few more verses in to see what happens, to see whether or not. Hang on, the chapter's not done yet. So we're still going. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so that I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned to divinate the divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you, he added. Name your wages, and I will pay them. Jacob said to him, you know how I have worked for you and how well your livestock has fared under my care. How little you have before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household? What shall I give you? He asked. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't it be great if we all had that heart for God?
Yeah.
Like, God, don't give me any. Problem is, in this life, we always have need of things, you know, more money, more, you know. But we got to get to that gratefulness where we're grateful for everything God gives us. Where we just have that grateful heart. We're not necessarily demanding him for stuff. Heal me, give me more money, more money, money, more money, more money, more money, more money, more money. But that's how some of us are. You know, like it's like these little kids who are always asking their parents, give me that. Oh yeah, I don't have the money. Where's a check? I'd be like, well, eventually, if you do that, it'll just dry up. But imagine if we could just get to this place with God, where we weren't always asking him for stuff. Someday we'll all be there. I mean, we all have needs in that, but, you know. But if... don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all of your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark colored, will be considered stolen. Agreed, said Laban. Let it be as you have said. That same day, he removed all of the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all of the speckled or spotted female goats, all in parentheses, all that had white on them, or parentheses, and all of the dark-colored lambs. And he placed them in the care of his sons.
Then he put a 3-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white stripes on them. In parentheses, peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all of the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they can men to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came and they came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Thus, he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals, so that they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban, and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and manservants and camels and donkeys. Really rich. This would be like me owning many. This would be like if I were to own many McDonald's franchises,
yes,
or Sonic franchises, or
yes,
Whatever I want.
Do them both.
Both, you know, because then, you know, as your franchisee, those businesses bring an income. Praise God, they bring income, and you know, and it's just an amazing thing. Jacob, and then later on, eventually, we're going to get into Joseph and what great things he did and all this, but this whole story of Jacob is just a great story. Goes over a lot of chapters, but Jacob and all of his sons, you know, and that, it's just a great story. It's like a journey through life. It kind of shows like how we all go through tribulations and what have you. And all that, we have victories and we have great trials and tribulations, but God's here to help us through all of it.
That's good. And prosper us in the middle of it.
That's why the story, though it's a long one, it and many chapters, it's great. It is so great, you know, to just follow that journey, you know, of what happens through Jacob and his fatherhood and his children.
nothing that happens, you know. It's just an amazing thing. And like, I was thinking of something too. We're real people. We have real problems. We serve a real God. We're real people. We have real problems, but we serve a real God.
He has real answers.
He has real answers. I added that to it. Now this ignore button. If you hit this ignore button on your face, that's basically, it'd be like hitting that ignore button on that friend request. You don't want to hit the ignore button on face.
No.
You don't want to hit the ignore button on face. Because then it basically says, I don't care, God. I don't care. I don't care what you have for me. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. That is not my heart. But just for the record, I'm like, God, I don't want to hit the ignore button. I want you. I'm believing God for my healing. I'm believing God for the money for that equipment. I'm believing God, you know, for all this great stuff. And it's going to come. All these things that I'm believing God for are going to come. Faith is belief in God. You know how faith comes? It comes by hearing the word of God preached. You see, when you listen to me read these verses, all the stuff I'm doing, all this reading I'm doing, all this, and then me exhorting on it after I'm reading, you see, you're building up faith. Another great way you can build up your faith is by coming to a great church, such as, for example, Living Word International Church, 2010 Stark Road, 1 mile north of US 10. Go to marktbarclay.com to find out information on service time, or livingword.ws to find out information on service times and to find out more about Mark Barclay. Great church. You got to get, you're going to really have true great faith. You got to get into church so that you can so that you can have a great church to tithe into. Because part of this faith stuff is based on tithing. How are you going to get this heaping amount of faith when you're derelicting your tithe and you're not paying it on the first fruits of your income? You're getting a paycheck and you're putting none of it towards God's work. God said a tenth. He said he wants the first fruits. Oh, by the way, you're giving more to taxes than you are the government. I mean, you're giving more to taxes than you are to God.
Yeah.
Pastor just said that, talked about that Sunday night. You know? Imagine if we could get it to where the tax rate was lower than the tithe. Man, that tithe rate could be so much higher. You know, imagine what the church could do with all that extra income. Just imagine. But if more people came to church, it would just be amazing what God could do. We're supposed to be the ones who help. We're supposed to be. We are. The church, now this tithing thing, you've got to get your tithes right with God. Until you do, you're cursed with the curse. Yes, this whole nation. But the whole nation thing isn't just talking about tithes. It's talking about, like, America, we're in trouble right now. We're in such a mess. All this gay marriage stuff going on, which in the name of Jesus, the Supreme Court's going to rule and it's going to be overturned. We got all this other stuff going on that's going to stop. But in the name of Jesus, America's going to come back to you. No, our president should get a lot of great credit because he's doing some great things. Now, that's the deepest I will go into politics tonight at all, But I'm just saying, you know, that you just got to keep America in your prayers. Because otherwise, if we don't straighten up, eventually we're going to be paying the piper. And it's not going to be pretty. I know, me and Preacher joked once about paying the piper, but that piper was just about making someone go on a ride. And it was kind of something funny. Now this is like, if America has to pay the piper, it is going to be serious stuff. Because pay the piper means, you know, consequences of your actions. And when you got all those things going on that aren't of him, when you got God kicked out of your schools and you can't play in classrooms anymore, and all that, you know, that's not how God would have it. That's not the way God would have it. So you got to get this stuff right with God. You got to get your ties right with God. So that your faith isn't hindered and that your faith isn't void. You just got to get the stuff right with God. Amen? So, hope you really got encouraged by this word. Now, before I get into sports, first of all, what I want to do before I get into sports is... wonderful Coca-Cola. Finest drink possibly anywhere. You can get it at many fine merchants, including McDonald's, about far from the only place you can get it. But if you're looking for fountain Coke, McDonald's is about the pretty close to the cheapest you're going to find at about $1.06 to be exact here in this state for any size Coke you want. Obviously, this is going to depend on your state. In some states, I know it might be like 110. In others, it might be like 105. But yeah, 106, 107 in most states, we'll say 108, something in there for any size Coke you want from McDonald's. You can get a Dr. Pepper too if you want. But Coca-Cola, official beverage sponsor of Preacher the Miracle Man.
Yeah.
Also, now, we go into high school sports, and before I get into scores, I have to say congrats on a great season for those who were unable to qualify for the playoffs here in Michigan. Regardless of what school you are, for example... West Branch, for example, got one win this year only. Previous couple of years, they had been winless. So congrats to them on that.
Right.
And
thank you.
Folks, to those people, those teams that might have not made the playoffs this year because you didn't win enough games, I have something to say. Here it is. Good sports are always winners. Good sports are always winners. I said that statement early in the season about how sportsmanship is so important. Sportsmanship is exactly what high school sports are about. It's about these kids learning sportsmanship and respect. Very important. You got to be able to have that. So we need high school sports in this country. Yes, even football. Football's a good tool. It's more than just, you know, a way that kids get concussions. You know, we have need of it. So it's great if you go to these games, go to some of these playoff games this weekend if you got a chance. Because these games, they unite a community like nothing else. Like, I'll be in the stands at the game I'm at. For example, I'll be at a Midland High game on Friday night. Midland High will take on Traverse City. But, I'll be in there, and there'll be people of different age groups and different, you know, backgrounds. And, well, they're for the same purpose, you know, to cheer on our team, to meet each other, you know. We're all there to support the team. And some of us are just there for the band. Some of them might just be there because their little kids want to see the cheerleaders. But ultimately, it's really is a good cause. These kids learn a lot of great things from high school football. And to those teams who did not make the playoffs, keep trying. Maybe next year you'll get in. You know? Now, being what I said all about all this sportsmanship stuff and all that, I will, in fact, start with high school football. Friday night, you had the big Midland-Vow game. I said it would be a close battle. I said Midland would win 28-24. I was right about part of it. I was right that Midland was going to win. I didn't see Midland having the dominating performance that they did. And at first, for the first few minutes of that game, like about 5 play clock minutes or so, it seemed like it was really going to be a close ball game. As Midland scored a touchdown. The way it starts out is Dow gets a big running play, gets to the 49. After that, they can't convert a first down, so they got to punt the ball away. Midland gets the ball, goes in and scores. Dow gets the ball at first play after kickoff, 80-plus yards into the end zone. So then I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a close game, maybe a high-scoring game. Except for one thing. The later into the game it got, the more control Midland took. Dow at times would try to make it a little more interesting. In fact, it became 35-21 at one point. But Midland has other plans. Midland scored 2 touchdowns within the last 5 minutes to seal it. 49-21,
wow.
Midland over Dow. Second, the most points Midland ever put on in the history of regular Midland-Dow games. Second most when you factor in playoffs, which we've met them in playoffs 3 times. So 49-21 is your score there. Great crowd, huge crowd on hand. 2 wonderful bands, 400 and some plus kids on the field. Martin Money, the big playmakers. Martin Money was one of the big ones. He rushed for over 250 yards. He rushed for like 225 yards for the Comets. Kate Mettner, great night. He did have an interception and a lost fumble to add to his total of interceptions, lost balls. But keep in mind, I did say whoever turned the ball over less would. Midland did turn the ball over less than Dow did. But there was only one less turnover. But somehow in the process, Midland scored 28 more points than Dow did. So there you go. Midland, that is the first Midland win over Dow since 2013.
Wow.
Next up from, they both are in the playoffs in the same, what is called a district. You remember districts, right, Sam?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, for those of you who might not be following a team in high school football, but are like, what's all this district stuff? When you go in the playoffs here in the state of Michigan, you're divided up into 8 divisions based on enrollment. For example, we're Division 2. After that, you put in a region. After you put into a division, Division 2 for us, you put into a region. That is Region 1 for us. And this year, Region 1 is like mainly us, Midland and Dow, Traverse City West and Traverse City Central, a Grand Rapids school, a Muskegon school, and two Kalamazoo area schools. So it's generally the western part of the state. Teams that made it from the west part of the state that are in Division 2, which we're not exactly, Midland and Dow aren't exactly on the west end. We're kind of more on the east end, but that's what they put us in this year. And then districts is like for your first two rounds of play, you're placed in a district. In the district, District 1 of Region 2, Region 1 of Division 2, District 1 is one seed Midland at home. Midland's the one seed as they have 102 playoff points versus Traverse City Central, 67 playoff points, right at 7. And then on the other side of the district, you have second-seeded Traverse City West Titans at 8-1, 96 playoff points, versus Midland Dow, 79 playoff points, 7 wins, 2 losses, in Traverse City at 7 on Friday. So you got Midland at home with Traverse City Central, Dow on the road with Traverse City West. So that's where we're at for Midland Dow as far as this week. Of course, Westmoreland didn't make it. Other local teams who have made it, Bay City Central made the playoff. They made the postseason this year, but they are in Division 3 this year, which very much surprised me. I wasn't sure they were going to get in with that 5-4 record. But they got to go on a road. They're a Division 3 school, and they got to play on the road. I guess they lost enough kids now so that they're a Division 3. And overall, the number one school in Division 3, Muskegon. Who's the number one school in Division 2? It is, in fact, Wyandotte Roosevelt, who we probably wouldn't have to face until Ford Field if we made it that far. But first, what we'd have to get past the either Mona Shores or Grand Rapids Forest Hills Central, it looks like, in a regional. First, we got to beat Traverse City Central, and then possibly, depending on what happens with the Dow game, possibly Traverse City West, which is a would be a rematch of Midland's Week 1 loss, after which Coach Mettner came out and tweeted that he was sorry that they did not represent Midland well. Since then, Midland's been on a roll. So, Midland versus Traverse City Central, I will be there live. I'm actually going to start something. I'm going to create a Midland, a Preacher Miracle Man Twitter account or Facebook, which on which I will be posting live from like games I'm at.
Come on.
I will be posting live score updates and other things I see, like Midland student section is awesome tonight or whatever. You know, and so to kind of give you, you know, kind of what's going on. And it will also be like when we're going to have a show. So any of you guys who have a Twitter, you'll be able to follow Preacher Miracle Man on Twitter. Because I'm going to get that. Running. Now. Okay. We did Midland. While we're still on football, we're going to go to college football. And that ugly Michigan loss to Penn State.
Uh-oh.
I said Michigan was going to lose to Penn State.
Uh-oh.
I didn't say that it was going to be a blowout. I said it would be kind of close, like 27-20 or something. Instead, 42-13.
Oh, my.
Michigan got blown out. Michigan got taught a lesson.
multiple pass interceptions, one of which was returned for a score. It was embarrassing. The worst loss of Coach Jim Harbaugh's three-year career at Michigan. Michigan must fix these things. Otherwise, they're going to lose. Otherwise, they will certainly lose to Ohio State if they do not fix this. I almost guarantee it. They're now eliminated from even a share of the Big Ten championship and eliminated from any chance of being in the college football playoff.
Uh-oh.
Michigan State, on the other hand,
they went
17-9 over Indiana. A good defensive showdown. Michigan State's played a lot of defense-led football this year. That's been a theme of much of what they've done this season has been defense. And sometimes they say the best offense is a great defense, you know? A lot of times it's what they'll say, you know? So it might not be the funnest, highest-scoring game, but it's more like old-style football, you know, which was a lot more focused on defense. So there you go with that. Spartans are bowl eligible and in the top 25. They moved up again to like number 15 or 14, I believe, 6-1. So they would easily be in a bowl if the season were finished today, but they got to keep winning. I think they can keep winning. I like Michigan State this year. Now, big upsets this weekend. Not too many huge ones. Alabama is just totally romping everybody.
Yeah.
They're number one. It's unanimous still, even with what Penn State did to Michigan. No. Okay, so there goes your college. Now, we're going to stay with football and go to the NFL. NFL, you had no Lions this weekend, which, in a way, some could consider a relief, being what's happened over the last 2 weeks and those injuries. We had some notable games. First of all, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders on Thursday night. You had the Eagles 42-34 last night over the Redskins. Eagles are number one team in the league based on wins. 6-1, have won 5 straight. So the Eagles are, as they would say, flying. Patriots shut out the Falcons, 23-0 on Sunday Night Football. Another notable score, you had Dallas totally annihilating the 49ers, 30-3. You heard me right. I called them the 49ers.
49ers.
They haven't won a game this season. They still have the problems with, there's still 7 players who are still protesting. That's another reason why I call them the 49ers. But now back to games. You had, like I said, you had the Chiefs lose. You have Browns who are still winless. They lose to Tennessee 23-20 in overtime. You have the Packers lost again. The Bears won again. So the Bears are kind of surprising me and some others. Minnesota's doing a bit better now. You have Seahawks totally annihilated the New York football Giants. They did not do well. The Seahawks did, but the Giants did not. You had, and then for Sunday coming up, Steelers and Lions. Sunday night game of the week in Detroit at Ford Field.
that's going to be a great game Sunday night, 8:30. After I'm out of church, so I'll be ready to turn on my radio and listen to some great football. Hopefully the Lions will have their injured players back so they can get back to doing well on the football field. So that's your football weekend. You had some surprises and some not surprises. Again, you know, Aaron Rodgers is basically done, basically for the rest of the season. Aaron Rodgers for the Packers. So what's going to happen with that NFC North? I don't know right now, folks. I don't know. Will it be the Packers that win it? I don't know. Could still be the Lions. Or it could be the Vikes. Who is it going to be? Part of me is thinking Vikes right now, though. Lions, if they're going to have got to get to winning a big winning streak, they're already 3-3 right now. They lost two games in a row before the bye, so they're going to really need to get on a winning track in order to win the North. So, now, it is time for dun, da, 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 dun, dun, baseball. On Thursday, I made some predictions. I said that the Cubs would lose on Thursday night and the NLCS would be over. The Cubs lost. And so it meant that the Dodgers took the Cubs out in five games. Then I also said on Thursday night that the Astros would go back to Houston and they would take game 6 and 7 from the Yankees. They did. They won game 6 and 7 by a combined 8-1 score. And which means that you have Dodgers versus Astros in the World Series starting tonight.
Come on.
Listening, you can listen locally on ESPN 100.9 FM. Game time is 8:30, I believe. Temperatures will be basically the hottest in World Series history, as it's supposed to be near 100 degrees tonight in L.A.
Wow.
More like at 5:30 this afternoon, L.A. time, but you get the picture. But still among the hottest in World Series history. Hottest among World Series nonetheless. So that is what you'll have. You'll have start World Series. What do I think is going to happen? Part of that's going to depend on how Verlander does and Kershaw does whenever Kershaw pitches. I'm not sure when Verlander is going to pitch, but Verlander has not lost a game since he was in Detroit.
Is that right?
That is absolutely right. Verlander has just been on a roll. Just clicking, 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 clicking. I really hope he gets this ring. I really do. Because it would look great for him. In a way, I do think it would still look even better on his hand if it was as a Tiger.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
right.
you got to feel bad if you got to go away to get a ring.
Yep.
Then they can kind of say, unfortunately, I guess the grass might be greener on the other side. You know.
Maybe the players are leaner on the other side. Maybe that's what it is.
Leaner? I think in Houston, maybe the players eat lots of great donuts that help them win baseball games. You know, because by the way, donut shops in Houston are over 100% more popular than in other really big American cities.
Yes.
Remember I told you about that, Annie, that I had heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting statistic.
And you said you had heard something similar to that, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Since I heard that, I kind of teased about that, you know, that sometimes if a team has to go to Houston and doesn't win, it's because that team didn't eat the donuts, and Houston did. that carried on to Midland-Dow rivalry game.
Uh-oh.
Where me and a guy said, me and a guy were teasing about it, and he texted me back after I let him know that Midland lost to Dow, and he said, not enough pre-game donuts for the chemists. like Troy Dunkin' Donuts, the official booster food for MHSA Melbourne High School football, you know? Or in this case, the Houston Astros. That'd be like that, you know? You know, these donuts have lots of high-energy calories that'll have you running as the ball is going forward, but when the opponent's trying to hit a home run, you know? It'd be like that, you know? If only it actually works that way, right?
Yeah.
If only it actually works that way.
Have you been to Cops and Donuts?
Yes, I have.
Now that'll make you run.
Oh, man. They got some really good stuff there. They really do. But now the baseball, how many games will this go? I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I think it will either be 5, 6, or 7. Will I say who will win it? No. I need to see the first game first. Maybe tomorrow I'll possibly give an answer. It might take at least 2 days.
That's the close one, huh?
It might take at least 2 days, you know, before I can give an answer. 2-0, then I can say yes, whoever is up 2-0 will quite possibly win. Now, we're going to go to basketball real quick. Pistons played last night. They played the 76ers at Little Caesars Arena. And you're thinking, oh, yeah, Pistons 76ers, Pistons should win, right? Nope. 115 to 103, Pistons lost. Never had the lead one time.
Oh, my.
That's when you kind of realize that it could be a long year this year. And I really hope they can surprise us and do some good things this year. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. Andre Drummond, of course, another great game, double-double. Like 24 points and 12 rebounds. So, nice game for him. Red Wings. Winless in the last 4 games. Got to go to Buffalo tonight. Will they win? I think they'll win 3-2 tonight and get that 4-game winning streak off their back. Gonna have to, so they can make the playoffs, because I'm ready for a Detroit team to make the playoffs. I really am. This year's kind of been a hard year for Detroit sports, but great at the same time with the opening of Little Caesars Arena. Let's translate that into some winnings.
And you can always count on the Red Wings to win a tournament, right?
Well, they didn't make the tournament last year.
Yeah. They've won it more years than the Tigers or the Pistons ever won it put together.
The Tigers won some back in like the 40s and like the 20s and what have you, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, the Red Wings, they got to get some good stuff going. I'm still going to get to a game at Little Caesars Arena, certainly at some point this season. Probably going to be the Pistons, but I don't know when that'll be. It's going on my Christmas list. There's something I want, some tickets, so I can tell everybody exactly what it's like inside. So, folks, I hope you guys enjoyed everything I had to say tonight. I hope you enjoyed my exhortation. I hope you enjoyed, you know, on my sports updates and everything I said. And until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. I'll see everybody tomorrow night, at the same place. And I love y'all. So long, everybody.
So long, everybody. Oh, hold on. We got a caller.